Sarah Flannery isn't your run-of-the-mill teenager. In 1999, the 16-year-old math whiz won Ireland's Young Scientist of the Year award. With a project on the science of cryptography, she went on to win the Young Scientist competition for all of Europe. Irish newspapers declared her a genius, and a London publisher called to see if she'd write a book. Well, she did write that book, called In Code, with the help of her father. And I should add that Sarah's dad, David, is a math professor. Sarah told Anne Strainchamps that learning math from her father taught her more than basic skills.
I think more importantly, it made me see maths as something that was, you know, fun, if you like, and something that I was never alienated against when I was growing up. You know, Dad would and Mum would talk to us about English and maybe read us books and things, but they would also talk to us about maths, which for some people is something that they only meet in school, you know, so it helps just make maths seem a natural thing, as natural as English or Irish or whatever.
Not only do most people not encounter math until they get to school, the idea of talking about it at home would be kind of alien to a lot of people. I mean, what did you talk about?
It was made very simple by the fact that Dad would give us puzzles and everything, so you could have a discussion and sometimes quite a, you know, a lively discussion about a puzzle, and therefore, perhaps in some cases without really realising it, a lively discussion about maths at the same time.
Some of those puzzles, you give examples of them in the book, and they're great. Can you give a few of them to us?
Oh, well, I mean, there's lots of different ones. There's one having a 3-gallon jar and a 5-gallon jar and an unlimited supply of water, and what you want to do is try and pour out 4 gallons of water. So you've got to figure out how to do that with only your 5-gallon and your 3-gallon jar. That puzzle came up in Die Hard with a Vengeance, Bruce Willis.
How do you solve that one?
Okay, the answer to the puzzle is to fill up the 3-gallon container and to pour it into your 5-gallon one, and then to fill up the 3-gallon container again and again pour it into the 5-gallon container, so that you're left with just 1 gallon in your 3-gallon container. Then you empty the 5-gallon one, pour that 1 gallon from the 3-gallon jug back into the 5-gallon jug, and then fill up the 3-gallon one again and pour it into the 5 gallon so that you have 4 gallons.
That's great. Well, what if, I was wondering if there are any of the other puzzles. I was looking at them to think whether there were any others that we could do on the air without getting out pencil and paper. And I was wondering, maybe the Russian postal system puzzle, that was a good one.
Yeah, this Russian postal system puzzle, as it's called, is definitely one of my favourites. I heard it at the end of a lecture on cryptography in UCC, which is University College Cork, near where I live. And it was given to us by this Russian mathematician who stood up at the end of this lecture and just really wanted to give us this puzzle. So it's simply, the story goes that at one time the Russian postal system was notoriously corrupt. And what I mean by that is that any letter, package or box that was sent through the postal system, which was open or could easily be opened, would be. And the post office clerks would just go through the package or box or whatever and take out anything, whether or not it had any value. And obviously anything which did have value, they'd just pocket, and anything else they'd just throw away. But then, of course, the other end of that is that any letter or box or anything that went through the postal system locked, they wouldn't bother themselves opening it because their pickings were so rich, and they'd just let it go through, even if they did suspect that it contained valuables. And so then the story goes that there's this, you know, this man, Boris, in Moscow, say, and his girlfriend, Natasha, lives all the way across the country in St. Petersburg. And Boris wants to get a jewel, a present that he's bought for Natasha, to her. And the problem is, how do they get it to each other despite the corrupt postal system? And then there's also other information that you can, you know, like I said, if you do have a box and you can buy a padlock and lock it up and send it through the post, knowing that it will get, for example, to Natasha in St. Petersburg safely. But remember that Boris then can't, by letter, send the key, because if the postal clerks, you know, they'll get this letter with a key in it, open it up, the key will have no value to them, but they'll just throw it away.
So he can send her the package locked and she'll get it, but then she doesn't have any way to open it. And if he sends her the key separately, that'll be opened and the key thrown away, so she still won't have the key. So the trick is, how does he both get it to her in such a way that she can open it?
Yeah, I hope I've given everyone all the information. It's hard to think of it. It's a long puzzle to set up. But yeah, that's it.
So how does she manage to get her gift?
Well, this is really one of those puzzles where I absolutely hate giving the answer to it, because it's one of my favourites. It's of a type of puzzle that I don't really like, because it's one where you have to have a flash of inspiration, if you like, or you either see it or you don't in order to get the answer. And so I hate giving the answer immediately because people lose an appreciation for just how difficult the puzzle could be if the answer doesn't hit you immediately.
Well, because I tried very hard to work it out myself and couldn't, so I could attest that you do have to have that flash of inspiration.
The answer is that what Boris does is he takes this box, a box he has, and he attaches a padlock to it. He puts the gem in first, of course, and unlocks up the box with this padlock and sends it off to Natasha in St. Petersburg. And now, because it's locked, of course, it will arrive there. And when it does arrive there, and this is the solution to the puzzle, really, what Natasha then does is she locks her own lock, to which she has the key, onto the box. And so now sends it back through the postal system again, with both her lock and Boris's lock on it. And so again, it'll arrive safely in Moscow. And when it does so, Boris, because he has the key to his padlock, can then take his padlock off and then send it back to St. Petersburg to Natasha. And when it arrives this time, all it will have is Natasha's lock on it, to which she has the key again, and so she can open it and get her gem.
Oh, and so brilliant!
Yeah, so that's what that really is. It's a cute little puzzle. Again, this is an example of something where you're doing a puzzle and the answer is so simple, but it may never have got, you know, it may never have struck you really. But also what you're doing at the same time is demonstrating how you can achieve secure communication over an insecure channel, which is something that, you know, a little child could do if the answer came to them.
Now, you've gone on to develop that interest in puzzles into your work on cryptography. And when you won Ireland's Young Scientist of the Year award, it was actually for an algorithm having to do with cryptography. What was it like going to the Young Scientist competition?
The year I won the Young Scientist, going up there was, I had been there the year before, so I had a different type, I felt nervous in a different way as to when I did back then. I kind of knew how things would happen, but it was still so exciting and I felt I could appreciate it even more. I knew what was going to happen. I was going to be judged so many times and, you know, I really wanted to go out there and kind of show those judges what I knew and show them, you know, what my project was all about and like that I had really enjoyed doing it and still really enjoyed it. And I really did enjoy the whole experience of being at the Young Scientist competition. I think it's, if anyone has an opportunity to, you know, take part in that and to get the experience of being judged and even to have to present your project and display your project, they're all such important lessons.
Yeah, it sounded, just from the way you described it, there's this image I have in my mind of you and these two mathematicians just poring over your explanations and you're scribbling things on a pad to show them how you've worked things out. And for the three of you, it's like there's nobody else in the room, this huge crowded room and people, but you're just in your own world, completely absorbed.
I just cannot explain how excited I was, how nervous at the same time. I just loved that. I know that had I not won the competition after that point, in one sense, it wouldn't really have mattered to me because I had done that. I had such a good time describing my project to those two judges. It was fantastic. It was, you know, it's what science is all about, being able to talk to fellow scientists. And, you know, it was brilliant. It makes me excited to think about it again. Definitely.
Sarah Flannery is now a student at Cambridge University. She and her father David wrote the book In Code, A Mathematical Journey. Anne Strangeham spoke with her.